You got to start this one.
Yes. Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we get business advice from Corey Brannon.
That's right, Patrick. And if you act now, we'll give you a Skype lesson in how to record a podcast for a low, low, reasonable price. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Jim.
So it's day two of our Corey Brannon interview.
Yeah, it is. It's great.
I was up all night. I couldn't wait to get to the second part of this interview.
He's an amazing dude, and we talked to him for a long time. You know, it was really cool. He just kind of basically let us take over as much as we want his backstage area there, which was really nice and comfy.
It was
right?
Nice.
Some nice couches and a really nice spread from the club. And he's like, whatever you guys need, go ahead. And it was really nice.
That's the nice thing about playing a new club, yeah. I think. You know,
really comfortable.
It hasn't been lived in yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a huge TV that wasn't even turned on. Remember that? It had like that big flat screen TV against the wall.
And wasn't there like a bathroom with like a shower?
There was. In the back? Yeah, it was really nice, man.
Yeah, you don't get stuff like that at... DC9, no. I imagine. I don't know. I love DC9. It's a great place, but
too.
No. So, yeah. So, we talked with Corey. Mm-hmm. And in this edition here of the interview, we talked about his hometown, home area of Memphis. He actually grew up in near Memphis in Mississippi.
Yeah.
And talked about, you know, the music that influenced him then when he was growing up. Very different, I think, than the music he plays today in some mm-hmm. way. I guess you'll hear a lot about that and sort of where he draws inspiration from. So let's get right to the interview with Corey Brannon.
She's been emptying rounds in a dark bar. She's been getting around in a parked car. You wanna know exactly how she feels? Gotta walk to hell and back in heels. Yeah, baby, been to hell and back. She never left Blacksburg. Blacksburg.
I want to go back to what you were saying about the music industry right now. You live in Nashville.
I did. Well, we moved back to Memphis in February.
Oh, you're back in Memphis.
Yeah, we were in Nashville mm-hmm. for 5 years.
Okay. All right. Well,
got priced out of Nashville.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that may answer my question because I was going to ask, was there ever a time where when you thought maybe I need to become part of this Nashville machinery that exists there?
No. I mean, I try to write a little bit of stuff. You know, you go in and do the co-writing thing.
Yeah.
I try to write for some big hat stuff. It's not my forte. You know, I don't have any problems with that. You know, I don't have any problems with pop country music. I don't care. I don't care to listen to it, but I'm not one of those people that's all butt hurt over, and I don't subscribe to the, you know, myth of authenticity thing. I have no
right
place for that. You know, my wife pointed it out when she first moved to Memphis from LA. She's like, oh, country music. She's like, I thought all that new stuff was just a big joke. She's like, but people use it. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, you know, when their grandmother dies, there's the songs for that. And when they have their weddings, there's the songs for that. And in that way, it's folk music. You know, I mean, it's a lot of it's folk music to sell you beer and some sort of weird, you know,
right.
Hillbilly utopia, but it's also tied to their lives. You know, we're going down, you know, to the dock, or we're going down to the lake. We got to, which lake songs do you want to put on the mix? it's usable music, you know. It's least common denominator a lot of times and whatever, but I don't listen to it, so I don't care. I'm not, you know. So the whole Nashville, Memphis, you know, thing, because there's always been sort of a feud right. that Nashville's not even aware they're in, you know. Memphis, you know, it's got a chip on its shoulder, and I like being from there, you know, because that's where so much music is from, and they, you know, blues is commerce proof. Nashville found a way to make country marketable and commercial.
Right.
And, you know, Memphis would have done it if you could do it with blues, but blues is thankfully commerce proof, you know.
So you grew up in the Memphis suburbs, right, in Mississippi?
Yeah, I was born in Memphis, but raised in North Mississippi, right across the line. I mean, right there, you know.
So what kind of music were you listening to growing up?
Whatever I could get a hold of, you know.
I mean, there's a real mix there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was stuff from the church, and there was, you know, there's bluegrass and blues and roots music, but I grew up glued to MTV, you know.
Yeah.
And then whatever the hood rat down the street gave me, you know, it was anything I could get a hold of. It was Iron Maiden, Eazy-E, whatever. Just give it to me. But yeah, I was lucky enough to be in a time when you popped on the local radio, top 40, and you had the acts. They couldn't be more dissimilar from each other. You know, if you look at like 83, 84 or whatever, and you got the Cars, Prince, you know, the Boss, and Police. And they
got, don't get me started.
And then it was incredibly diverse, but only diverse because money was being made.
Yeah.
There was money being made right and left, you know. that kind of diversity is still out there. It's just not developed, and it's not, you know, it's they just throw all the money at these things. And, you know, the top 10 hits, I think, earn 80% of the streaming revenue, I think, is the last statistics I saw. So a hit is worth more than ever. But they don't develop artists. That's flat out it.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, that doesn't enter my world, so I don't care. I don't listen to pop radio because it's a loop.
Yeah.
And you play? Didn't you play like in metal bands and stuff like that when you were starting?
Yeah, anybody that wanted a guitar player. I was a guitar player, you know, a little shredder. And, I played in, you know, death metal bands, hair metal bands, black metal bands. Then I played in a country band with my metal guitars, you know. Used to play at a place called Bad Bob's Vapors on Brooks Road. It was a dangerous joint. My old man used to have to go with me because I was too young to get in. And, my poor father, the music he suffered through.
When you look back, sort of how did you finally kind of, I guess, determine what was the music that really, that you wanted to put out there under your name? You know?
I don't know if I've determined it yet or not. Yeah, I think it goes song to song. But I did, I never sang. Until I was in my early 20s, I started playing at coffee houses and just doing covers and Lemonheads and Neil Young and probably Counting Crows and just whatever. And then I started writing when I was that summer, I guess, between 24 and 25, you know. But I think, you know, again, I've said it before about John Prine being a huge influence. I heard that, and it's the first time I heard such songs that were just inextricable from the personality of the singer that weren't a persona per se. You know, just used a lot of P's there. Sorry. I was like, oh, this feels legit. Like this, you know, it's goofy and it's, you know, it's funny, and then he disarms you, and then he guts you, and it's like, okay, I like that. I like that.
Woke up this morning, put on my slippers, walked in the kitchen and died. And oh, what a feeling when my soul went through the ceiling and on up into heaven I did ride. When I got there, they did say, John, it happened this way. You slipped upon the floor and hit your head. And all the angels say, just before you passed away, these were the very last words that you said. Please don't bury me down in the cold, cold ground. No, I'm gonna have them cut me up and pass me all around. Throw my brain in a hurricane, and the blind can have my eyes, and the deaf can take both of my ears if they don't mind the sound.
What do you draw inspiration from now, Corey? Is it music, or is it more, I don't know, reading or media of other kind? You mentioned a film already.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a It's just all of it. But music, I'm just terribly out of touch as far as, you know, my wife will point me here and there, but I listen to a lot of older blues and mm-hmm. instrumental stuff. And, you know, usually if it's not my buddies or somebody I tour with, I don't hear anything new. But yeah, I mean, always poetry. And as far as reading, I haven't actually cracked a book since the kids were born, but on the road, Audible has been doing the favor of reading to me on the road. Yeah, I just pull it, you know, from anywhere. I try not to pull it from my news feed.
Yeah.
I just throw the thing out the window. But, there's no structure to how it works with me. It's all kind of, I'll just piece, as I get it, I'll put it down, and then later on, it'll start to connect.
You know, I ask in one sense because I'm curious, but in the other sense, I think of somebody, a contemporary artist like, His Golden Messenger, mm-hmm. right? Who's writes what I feel like are songs that feel very, very well crafted. And he does something similar where he's on the road a lot, and he's playing, and he's raising a family too. And I wonder, as you get older and as your kids are growing, what part does that play, as a father and as someone who's, starting to look into that middle phase of their life? You know, does that feel like it's always there when you're writing, or do you put yourself in a character, and can kind of not think about that personal aspect?
I guess both. Okay. I mean, yeah, it's there. Yeah, I'm in all the songs, I don't kick down the door and, Kramer style it into my own songs, but I'm there. And so, yeah, that's obviously going to influence it. And, I don't buy into the old, I can't write when I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can, because, happiness is ephemeral. It's like, if you have something that you love in this world, you should be terrified. And, it should trigger all the cave emotions. And I'm like, so yeah, it's all there.
Yeah.
Even though I am, very happy and more at peace than I have been in a long time.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. I can hear a lot of people saying, yeah, I can't write if things are going well. I got that artistic tendency to mess something up.
Yeah. And I understand the creature habit thing, the part of that. A tactile example of that is I don't write with a guitar in my hand because mm-hmm. my hands are going to go to the same chords. I'm going to want to sing the same things.
Interesting.
My ear is a better songwriter than my hands, And but I understand how people get into their routine with their lives, and they need to shake their lives up, maybe. Yeah. But you can just do that with, just don't get enough sleep. That'll do it.
Yeah, that'll help.
Yeah, that'll totally shake you up. Yeah. I do that all the time.
Me too. Yeah, I'm in touch with that.
And there's just less self-destructive ways to do it, and I hate it when I see people cracking themselves open like they're a fortune cookie. Like that's the only way you can get a song is to lay down on some altar or climb a cross. I'm like, that's just. And that works for some people. Yeah. And if it works and you're doing great work and you're not hurting anybody but yourself, hey, you're an adult. You can do your thing.
Mm-hmm. Just not very sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not for me, and it's not sustainable.
Getting around in a park car.
All right, let's take a little break here from the interview, and then we're going to come back. But while we take the break, if you are new to the show, maybe because you like Corey Brannon and you want to hear this interview, we would encourage you to listen to more of our show. If you've been listening for a long time, but you just haven't had a chance to do this yet, we would encourage you to do it, which is to please rate and review Rock in the Suburbs on Apple Podcasts is what they call it now.
Yeah, do that. I mean, it reminds me, Jim, a little bit of like what you just said at the time I heard Owner of a Lonely Heart. And I was like, man, this is a cool new group. Yes. And I didn't know that they've been around for like wow. a lot of years. So immediately I went out and rated Yes 5 stars.
Oh, you did? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, they're good. That probably helped.
Yeah.
Make Every them what they are today. Helps. Yes. Right. So yeah, please do that. It does help us out when you rate the show and review it. Really, we've been getting a lot of strong ratings lately, but not too many people have been actually taking the time to write the little review.
Well, people are busy.
I know, they are busy. Yeah. You don't have to do much, though. You can just say, hey, I like the show. Yeah. You would like it, too, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that all that really helps because it sort of powers the recommendation engine of Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and then it makes the podcast more visible, and then hopefully more people listen to it. And we need that because we need that validation to keep this going, right?
It's all about our ego.
Yep. All right. So let's get back. We're going to conclude the interview with Corey Brannon. I mentioned you tell stories within your songs, but you also like to tell stories between the songs a lot of times too.
Terminally full of shit. Like I said, just rambling. It comes from being from Memphis, I think, just having to hold a crowd's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of get thrown in the deep end there because everyone is pretty jaded. Whether they have seen it all, they think they've seen it all.
Yeah.
And so, I was just kind of thrown in and I had to learn how to control the crowd and how, for me, I'm just I'm a spaz, I kind of, and I've always had that nervous energy. And when I play in Germany, for instance,
yeah,
the crowds are really respectful, but they're super clap, 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 quiet while you tune. And you just think you're bombing. You just, because there's no give and take.
Right.
And for them, that's how you treat art with a, at the bare minimum, this level of respect.
Right.
And I'm used to more of a give and take from a crowd. And I sort of feed off of that. And so the stories help that. Also, they set up, if I'm going to, some of the songs come from left field here and there. And so give it a little bit of a frame right. ahead of time. That helps.
What are some of your favorite places to play?
Whitewater Tavern in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Really?
One of my favorite bars. Wow. I'd like to play in Germany. Speaking uh-huh. of Germany, I love it. It's just, there's that disconnect, yeah. You just got to get used to it.
Yeah.
It's like they come up every afterwards and they buy everything. And you're like, oh, I didn't just bomb.
Honoring you by giving you extreme quiet.
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And that's the thing. And again, after being in Memphis and you get out on the road, and if you do end up in a town, a listening room that's been cultured enough,
yeah.
To give you that, you're like, what the hell's going on here? Is something wrong? So I've learned to do it different ways. I like playing theaters mm-hmm. when I'm opening for, like songwriting buddies. Like I've got to go out with Isbell, and I played out with Gaslight Anthem and those kinds of bands too.
Mm-hmm.
I like playing in front of a crowd that has no idea who I am. Like when I first went out with Gaslight, that's fun because there's something at risk. I like playing big theaters because I've learned how to paint with a roller brush instead of a fine brush.
Right.
There's some things that work in rooms that size very well when you're solo, but you have to approach it different. So it's always, when there's something at risk and there's something,
Interesting.
I like those kind of shows.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
I just have some random stuff.
Okay.
Now. So true. If you have more of art
strawberry,
here,
favorite ice cream.
So tell us, tell our listeners who may not know about this, how you came to be name checked in a Lucero song.
Oh, hell. Who knows? That's just slander and fiction.
Corey Brennan's got an evil streak. And a way with words that'll bring you to your knees. I ain't complaining while it shows. He just thinks so sweet. Still sing along. My tears don't matter much.
Now, we started in the same town at the same time. I mean, Ben had been in punk bands before in Little Rock, but when he moved to Memphis, he started Lucero the same time I started writing songs, late 99 or 99 or something like that. And I mean, we just played a lot of shows together and hung out. And I was, you know, I was in my 20s and I was a mess. And I don't remember a lot of it, you know. And so, apparently had an evil streak. I don't know. I mean, I know there's a certain backstory that goes with that that he told me later, and it was not true about a certain girl that we both dated. And he thought that I had been with her when he was with her or something like that. I was like, that's not true. Anyway, but yeah, whatever, soap opera. But I always joked around about it. I was like, well, man, if you got to break my balls, I'm glad you broke it in one of the better songs you've ever written, A. And B, thanks for being my publicist from here on out for the rest of your life every night at your shows. I'm just like, you know, I mean, it's a great song. People are always going to want to hear it. Yep. And now you've got to say my damn name every night.
Right.
I'm like, I guess you can break my balls.
That's exactly it. Yeah. You become, you get a little bit of immortality there being somebody else's song.
I love those guys. I got to do a long run with them last year and I hadn't seen them in a piece before that. But we go way back and really sweet guys. And they're all so grown up now. Like, you know, Brian's been a father for a while, but Ben's a new father. Roy's a new father. Yeah, it's all like, oh, you guys own houses and shit. They let you buy a house? You don't all live in the warehouse we used to live in that had the padlocks on the doors and the vomit on the floors?
We had to lie about all that stuff when they applied for the mortgage.
Yeah. Sure. We're in a band called Garth Brooks.
That's right.
All right, my next random thing.
Okay.
Patrick, I think you're going to like this.
All right.
You could benefit from this for your band, I think. All right? You ready for this?
Yep.
So on Corey's website, if you go on there into the merch section,
mm-hmm.
one of the things you can buy, first of all, you can get handwritten lyrics.
Oh.
That's pretty cool.
Very cool.
You can get random artwork, it says. But the third thing you can buy is guitar music theory lesson.
Oh, really?
That he will do for you over Skype or FaceTime.
Oh, that's amazing.
Did you know that?
I have recently started doing that. I had a couple months off, and I was like, what am I going to do with my spare
time?
Interesting. People had kept emailing me about, how do you play this song? And I sent them tabs or chords here and there, and I was just like, you know what? I think I'm going to give some lessons. I've got 5 students at the moment.
Outstanding.
One of them is 2 hours outside of Perth, which is the most isolated city.
So
I have to give the lessons at 9 at night, which is, I guess, 8 or 9 in the morning there, 9, 10 in the morning. Sweet guy. It's been fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, I especially enjoy I have a couple of them where I just talk songwriting with people and I could do that all day. I enjoy that.
Is there parts of it where you sort of cue up, you know, like a Black Sabbath record and you say, like, right here?
I do make lists, examples of what I'm talking about, and I definitely write them down because I mumble a lot and things like that. So I always make sure the skeleton of what we worked on is in an email.
Yeah. Well, you might get some aging indie rockers that might be signing up now that Jim mentioned that. Yeah.
Jump on it. I'll teach you how to finger tap indie rockers.
It's a good deal. Yeah. I don't know if you want me to quote the prices here, but it's a good deal. So,
Yeah. My wife's like, quit lowballing.
Right.
You gotta like, what else am I doing? I'm just sitting around the house, getting in your way. Let me talk to somebody on FaceTime.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Corey Brandon, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Corey, man.
Thank you.
Had nothing when I walked in here. Pocket full of fire and a killer idea. Still had nothing when you walked in. Looking like an Elmo heroin, and the air was wet. Clothes was too. I got the room key. We got through. We got through. Yeah, we got through.
Okay, our thanks to Corey and Patrick.
Amazing dude.
I know you want to take him up on those lessons that he's given over Skype, right?
Seriously, man. I mean, I think I can tuck my way into a 50% off discount. So, you know, if I can get that,
maybe.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
How great is that? You know, you talked about how you just like hearing him talk. I think the other people do too. You know, you could just,
he's a great
just dial
talker.
Up and have a conversation with him. So.
I liked, you know, kind of hearing about how he did what you mentioned at the top, you know, kind of learned to talk between songs because he was in Memphis and he had to, you know, everybody had they were in Memphis. So you had, if you wanted to get their attention, you had to be pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's a tough town to be a musician. People there, you know, they've seen it all.
It's Memphis.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, again, our thanks to Corey Brannon, and please check out his music. His latest album is Adios, and it's on Bloodshot Records, and I think you all will enjoy it. And what else can we say? If he comes around to your town, because he's traveling quite a bit.
Yeah, go see him.
Go check him out.
Tell him Jim and Patrick said hello.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Now, please listen to our little show, whether you're on the road or not. It is Rockin' the Suburbs, and you can find it on Apple Podcasts, Audioboom, other podcast platforms. We'd love to hear from you. If you have seen Corey Brannon live, you know, let us know about that.
Yeah, let us know. It's a, you know, Rockin' the Suburbs is a great way to burn a lot of hours on the road around this time of year when you're doing holiday travel. You know, you got like a 6-hour road trip. Just, you can do like, what, 12 Rockin' the Suburbs in that time.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Easy. You can do like a month.
Easy. So as I mentioned, you can call us, 612-440-1984. You can email us, rock@suburbspod.com, mm-hmm. or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, @suburbspod. And we have one more, my math is correct here, I think we have one more episode of this calendar year.
Yeah, this is it. We're coming up on the very last one, Jim.
All right. Mm-hmm. So with that, we'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm Jim Linehan.
Patrick Foster
almost
here.
Almost forgot that part. Okay, now we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Pocket full of fire and killer idea.
I'm not a great piano player. I can play through songs. I wish I was a better piano player, but I'd rather be a shredder.